Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I am here with author Todd Courtney.
That's right. My wife, Jackie, is my co-author, but she's fell ill this morning, so she wasn't able to
do this with me.
Yes,
this is a pretty exhausting thing. Now, you have felt compelled, and I don't have your whole, I mean, I have your whole bio here, but I think I'll just ask you questions and you can tell me more in depth. You have felt God inspiring you to write about... write children's books that will help restore the civility in America, and you use brain research. Tell us how you led up to that point.
So it's I'll give you the short version because it is quite a long story. It kind of started about 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I asked God to give me something else to do with my life. It's not that I wasn't happy or successful. I had a great, beautiful wife, beautiful kids, great business. I just felt like there was more in me, that I could have more impact on a lot more people. So I asked God to give me something else to do. And it does ultimately become a story of be careful what you wish for. Because I had no idea what I wanted to do. I didn't know I was going to be right. If you would have asked me or told me 10 years ago all of these projects would lead up to writing nursery rhymes, I would have thought you were, you know, okay, maybe, I don't know, but no, probably a little crazy. So, but the brainwaves research I did on a proctor, Dr. Bruce Lipton, he's a cellular biologist, and he actually taught med school at the University of Wisconsin. And he was a self-proclaimed atheist. But as he got deeper and deeper into the cellular structure and into the science, he became a believer. So I was reading his research. It just kind of gives me goosebumps when I think about it.
Yes,
And it was through the brainwaves. Because they change at such an early age, we're born almost, well, like an open slate, right? Like a brand new computer hard drive with nothing on it. No viruses are on it. And then around age 2, the brainwave changes a little bit. And around age 6 or 7, in that time frame, it changes a lot. And so 95% of behavioral patterns are established by that age. And that scared me. So that's when I said, actually, Jackie's the one who thought we ought to write children's books. I wasn't really interested because I wanted to write books that make a difference. I had done some work for teenagers and created an animation video for kids. So I just didn't want to create another cute book. It had to make a difference. And it was from that research of the brainwaves that triggered me and said, okay, Jackie, you're right. This is what we have to do. And so that's our new journey.
So share with us why they rhyme.
So the reason they rhyme is for the simplicity of memorization. We all remember a lot of the Mother Goose rhymes, like Humpty Dumpty. I could recite the whole Humpty Dumpty rhyme. It's great. It's cute. It helps us put words together and formulate sentences. But it doesn't mean anything as an adult. So what we decided to do is write positive affirmations to affirm a belief system within the child. And we baked that into a rhyme for the simplicity of memorization. And with the science, this science now they call epigenetics, is scientifically proven to work.
Yeah.
So in a perfect world, if we start reading by third trimester through age 7, like in this book, Max gives thanks to God. Max gives thanks to God. And God will be at the subconscious mind on that child forever. You could never get rid of it.
Yes. You know, I wrote a little book called The Spiritual Journey of Infants and Toddlers because of that very reason. I believe that even though when they are born or even, you know, when they're still in the womb, God has a relationship with them. They're not maybe reciprocating it as we see fit, but now we know that they also have a relationship with the mother, that there's mirror neurons, that there's some kind of communication going back and forth. And so it's pretty profound when you think that by the age of 6, 95% of their behavior. In fact, we know that the seeds of addiction and aberrant behavior are sowed before the age of 6.
Exactly right.
And the more we can nourish them in God, the better off, you know, in God worth as opposed to just self-worth. So what age do you think that parents really, well, I guess we've kind of answered that, you know, what age parents should begin teaching these values?
No, it's a great question. And even though we answered it, we can clarify some more. Like I had, we were at a book signing one time and a librarian said, oh, you know, the one book there, Be Responsible Like Max. Ooh, responsible. That's a big word, you know, for a two-year-old. And I told her, I said, well, we can teach down to our kids or we can teach up to them.
Yeah.
They're
going to
learn
yes.
either way. And she agreed. And so, oh, I guess you're right. So because of what you mentioned in the womb, there is that. It's that third trimester because that's when the brain starts mm-hmm. developing. The imprinting already begins. In fact, psychologists did a study, and they read Dr. Seuss's passages to Cat in the
now,
Hat.
Now, is that not appropriate? Because today is Dr. Seuss Day. Did you know that?
Yep.
Oh, I thought, man,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I thought I should give you a whole, I should give a show, and I'll make a note of this, use it on Dr.
Yeah.
Seuss Day. But, yes, today yeah. is Dr. Seuss's
So what the psychologist did is they read Dr. Seuss's Cat in the Hat to unborn babies in the third trimester. And then after the babies were born, they reread the books, and the babies recognized the passages to the book. And they know this by the sucking sensation. And likewise, they did the same study with mothers watching their favorite daytime soap opera. I've never been a fan of soap operas, but that's a whole other story. But the same thing. When the babies were born, the babies recognized the theme song to the soap opera. And again, they know this from the sucking sensation changes. So that's profound. And
yeah.
it's important. As simple as that sounds, it's very important. And so that's why I tell people, no, start reading third trimester. You want to,
yeah.
you have to teach these values because, as you mentioned earlier, they, you know, and how early they learn it, and the reason you wrote mm-hmm. your book, and we have it from Be Responsible, learning the power of gratitude, being inspired, believing in yourself. Because the problem is we're up against their environment. And
yes.
when you're dealing in households maybe that grew up in the inner cities,
mm-hmm.
that the environment is really rough and really negative.
Yeah.
And so statistically, there's going to be a tipping point where that child is most likely going to go over to that negative side. We feel like if we can inject these positive verses, these positive rhymes, and these positive values at a young age, even though they may veer off course when they're teens and 20s and whatever, finding their way, it'll make it that much easier when they find the right pastor, that right teacher, that right coach, that right mentor who could pull them on path, and they'll remember these rhymes.
Yes. So we have Max Gives Thanks to God, Be Responsible Like Max, Max and Molly Learn Their Manners. Are there more?
Yeah, there's more. There's Get Inspired with Max, and there's Giving Thanks with Max. Max and Molly Learn Their Manners, that's our fifth book. That actually arrives this spring.
And what's the website?
InspirationalNurseryRhymes.com. That's the long version. Our main character is Max Rhymes, so you could also go to MaxRhymes.com to make it simple.
Okay, so Max Rhymes.
Yeah, the series title is Inspirational Nursery Rhymes Series.
Okay.
But because it's such a long domain name and people misspell things so quickly,
yes.
I made another one, said Max Rhymes, and that way it just goes to the
okay.
same website.
MaxRhymes.com. MaxRhymes.com.
Yeah.
Well, as you were talking, I was thinking of a very recent news story of a little boy, he's not quite a year old, who has a terminal birth defect
mm-hmm.
and cries literally all the time unless they have football on.
Oh, wow.
And the mother during the pregnancy watched a lot of football.
Yeah.
And so they, of course,
yeah.
fortunately there's football on a lot. But, you know, wouldn't I much rather feed my child with faith food than with football or fear food, you know,
right.
So you really need to think about what you're feeding into that child's mind from an early age, from conception. What are you feeding, you know, into that mind, which brings to mind parents.
Exactly right.
Parents, how you are conducting. You have to walk the talk.
That's
you
right.
have to walk the talk.
And that's part of the message we try to get out too. And we do little short YouTube videos on our website telling the parents this. I mean, the number one topic that parents probably argue over is money. I always ask this when I do talks and groups, and it's always money. And even though they have an infant, maybe in, you know, maybe it's still in her womb, and when she's paying the bills, she's feeling tense.
Yes.
And then the baby starts hearing the word money, and then when the baby's born, 1-year-old, 2-year-old, they're in the bassinet, high chair, whatever she's doing or he's doing, and then and the parents are paying bills that every month, that same cycle, the arguments happen every month.
Yeah.
The baby's learning that behavioral pattern, associating money bad, money bad. And then they recycle that. And that's just one topic.
Yeah, and then you grow up, and then you perpetuate it because you felt stress when you were a child over money. Now you feel, you know, stress as an adult over money. And so you have to stop the pain.
That's exactly
right. Well, we're going to take a break right here, and then when we come back, I have a few more questions. We'll be right back.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
If God talked to us back when he lived on this earth, why doesn't he talk to us now?
The Apostle Paul must have been asked that very same question. I can imagine him standing before a group of faithful believers when a young person sitting in the back of the room timidly raises her hand. "Pastor Paul," she says, "when my parents were young, Jesus himself talked to them. But he's gone back to heaven, and I've never seen him. Why doesn't he talk to me now?" Paul must have liked the answer he gave because he wrote it down in Hebrews chapter 1. Listen, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." Verses 1 and 2 NIV. "But," the girl presses, "I don't hear him speaking." I can see Paul smile and begin to tenderly unroll an ancient scroll waiting nearby. "Don't you remember when Moses was afraid to go to Egypt?" he asks. Here's what God said about him and his brother Aaron. "I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do." Exodus 4:15. God does speak clearly to us, I can hear Paul say, through the sermons we hear, the Bible stories we read, and sometimes, believe it or not, in the very words we say ourselves. If you'd like to learn more about God and his amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of books from different guests that I've had on the show and different topics that I've done. And I also have some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783.
Welcome back. I'm here with Todd Courtney, and we've just been talking about brain science, also referred to as neuroscience, and how we teach values to children while they're still in the womb. And they've written this wonderful series, and you can learn more about it at maxrhymes.com. We just appreciate you so much spending this time with us. I think young parents and soon-to-be parents really need to look into the kind of information they're going to feed that child in the womb. And before break, you were just talking about, you were giving us a little bit of statistics. I wondered if you would share with that again, both the statistics of when behavioral patterns are established and what you were talking about just before the break.
So to kind of clarify on brainwaves, we're born in what's called a delta brainwave frequency, which is the lowest brainwave frequency there is, and why babies are so spongy. They can learn multiple languages all at the same time. In fact, science doesn't even think there's a limit to the amount of languages a baby can learn, as long as there's the teachers to teach it. Around age 2, we move into a theta frequency. A little bit higher, still much lower than adult, so they're still learning, but the floodgates are starting to close a little bit. And then around age 6 or 7-ish, that's when their brainwave moves into an alpha frequency, and the floodgates are virtually 95% closed. And so your behavioral patterns, 95% of them, are now established. I'm talking about your knee-jerk reaction stuff. So whatever you're teaching in the household, if something is always supposed to be funny, that baby grows up thinking that's always funny. If something, if they learn prejudice of whatever type of nature, that is what the baby will learn too. And so it's, we have to be careful what we teach, because we've gone around the country now and we've asked many groups of people. And I always get, raise your hand if you think our values and virtues and God have been watered down in this country. And you get a resounding yes. Everybody raises their hand. And I said, okay, well, here's the scary part. Statistically, it can only get worse. Mm-hmm. Because young parents can't teach what they don't know or what they don't use on a daily basis. Yeah. So the next generation grows up not knowing because they're not being taught this. So these are really the first tools that are created to bring back our values, bring back God in conversation for this age demographic, and whereby the process is scientifically proven to work. And I enjoy using science and God, because I've met with a lot of physicists and quantum physicists, and many of them now have turned to believers. It's the middle science, the people that don't dive that deep, that they still are kind of hung up on, they have to see it to believe it. But the ones that have dove deep, they're the ones who have turned from atheists to believers. And I love it. I think it's fantastic.
Yes, and it's across the board. It is absolutely across the board. We see it in science, in biologists and chemists, the awakening.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate thing is, if we don't address the children, maybe some of these older people have, seen the light.
Right.
But we have a whole generation, and time is running out so fast that we need to do everything in our power. So you might look at this book and say, oh, it's just a little, a little board book. But the science behind it is phenomenal. I would much rather have a mother-to-be with her tummy all big with that baby inside reading these books. Max gives thanks to God, be responsible like Max. Max and Molly learn their manners, and you mentioned a couple of other titles.
Get inspired with Max, giving thanks with Max, and you hit a hot button that I always touch upon, and that is adults, 35, 45, 50, even 65, whatever, they may find the light. They may go, I can't believe I didn't know this my whole life, but the problem is they've already raised their children.
Yes.
And as you just touched upon, and I love that, because that's what we need to be aware about. When I talk to grandparents, I was talking to the Red Hat Society this last week, and they were, almost all of them bought the books. They not only wanted them for the grandkids, they wanted them for their kids as well.
Yes.
And it's because once we get, if we do get saved, if we do find the light, whatever you want to, however it is for you, you have to be very careful. How do you inject that down at the next one? We believe we can change the next generation. We believe we can bring back values, virtues, and God. In a single generation, we can do that, as long as we get the books in enough tiny little hands to spread that.
Yes, and I love the metaphor of Jonah, or the story of Jonah, because for me the metaphor is that the whole world could be saved, It's not just a few. The whole world could be saved, just as Nineveh was, you know, with repentance and soul searching. And if we reclaim our children, then the next generation has a chance. If we don't reclaim our children, we know from the different statistics, like George Barna's, he recently released the worldview, and that the millennials, you know, it's like 10% have a biblical or a Christian worldview.
Right.
And their children that they're having now, it's only 4%.
I know.
So how do we really bring back that worldview? And with that worldview will come the values and the civility that we're looking for. What do you plan to do with in the future? Are you going to, you know, make more books? And then are you going to also provide them maybe in e-form or audio form? Tell me about your future plans.
Yeah, we plan on, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep writing these. And 2016 was a big testing year for us. I know God put me on this path, and I asked him. I didn't ask him specifically about, you know, nursery rhymes, but after all the projects, this ended up being the one that he really wants to push. And so we plan on at least a minimum, I think, of like 15 books. They just keep coming. It's actually parents. Parents and grandparents tell us what would be a great topic. We think about that, and then we just hammer it out and create it. And so we have them in ebook form. In fact, one of them, Be Responsible Like Max, they can get on our website. I give it out for free. I just want them to spread it and share it. And I made it a PDF, so there's no barrier to entry for anybody. Just download it on any device and share it. But yeah, it feels like it's going to be a long-term project, and then hopefully it'll catch fire. I say hopefully, when really deep down I already believe it is.
Yeah.
Because in a very short time, in 2016, as we've been testing them, we're in stores in across 30 states. And that's really fast, they tell me. Never
yes,
been an author
that
before.
Is.
But they tell me that's really good. And we were self-published before. Now we're published through Christian Publishing Services out of Franklin, Tennessee. And so we've got stuffed animals people want. People want like birthday party paraphernalia. Mm-hmm. They want a lot of stuff with the characters on them. But it takes time. You have
yes.
to build a brand.
Yes.
And like as you mentioned before, you mentioned something on grandparents. Oh, the millennials. We have to press upon the grandparents. They need to get these books for the grandkids.
Yes.
Because the millennials won't buy them.
Yes.
On a
yes.
whole.
Yes. Yes, unfortunately.
I know.
Well, we've come to the end of our show. I've been talking with Todd Courtney about a series of books that he has felt God has called him to, and I agree, to restore that biblical worldview to our young people, restoring civility in America. It's based on brain science, and it teaches values to little ones, those still even in the womb. Go to his website, maxrhymes.com, and he has a free upload there.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
download.
Free ebook.
I'm not quite sure what it's called, but he has it there free for you. Thank you so much for spending this time with us.
Thank you for having me, Rose.
We'll have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.